Greetings from Hollywood, ladies and gentlemen. You know, scientists are continually working to bring us greater efficiency and more speed in aircraft. And so in tonight's play, No Highway in the Sky, we tell you the story of a rather absent-minded scientist who, because of one transoceanic flight, found himself the most talked-about man on two continents. As the stars of this intensely absorbing drama from 20th Century Fox Studios and recreating their original roles, we have one of the most capable actors on the screen, James Stewart, and one of the most glamorous women in the world, Marlene Dietrich. Yes, glamour is an international word, just as Lux Toilet Soap is an international complexion care. Because lovely women everywhere who want fresh, lasting, new beauty depend on daily Lux facials. Now, No Highway in the Sky, starring James Stewart as Theodore Honey and Marlene Dietrich as Monica Teasdale, with Evelyn Eaton as Marjorie Corder. One of England's proudest possessions is the aircraft establishment at Farnborough, where some of the world's finest commercial planes have been developed. It's closing time, and one of the officials has just left the plant. With him is a scientist, Mr. Theodore Honey.
It's very kind of you to drive me home like this, but I assure you that
yes, you've told me several times, Mr. Honey. You could just as easily have taken the bus.
I always go home on the bus.
Mr. Honey, I'm rather curious about that experiment of yours in the vibration shed. Perhaps Sir John told you I've been away for several months, and now that I'm back, may I ask just what you're up to in there?
Well, yes, I'm vibrating.
So I understand. The entire tail assembly of the new Rutland reindeer is suspended in midair, and you're vibrating it. Why, Mr. Honey?
Well, I'm waiting for the tail to fall off.
Oh, I see. But these planes are already in service.
Yes, they are, yes.
Sir John tells me you're an American, Mr. Honey. Rhodes Scholar, eh?
Yes, I've been here for several years. I can't remember exactly how long I've been here.
He's quite proud of you, Mr. Honey. Tells me you're invaluable. But what are you trying to do to our reindeer aircraft?
Well, that's rather difficult to explain in words of one syllable.
Well, I have managed as many as two syllables on occasion, Mr. Honey.
Oh? Well, very simply, the purpose of my work has been to arrive at an end result for the original theoretical hypothesis of Kerslinger of Bale and Schilgard of Uppsala, in which they postulate vibration as a source of energy. Now, I reason that since this energy does not appear in any of the ordinary forms, such as heat or electrical potential, it must be absorbed by the metal itself, and that sufficient absorption would result in nuclear fission of the aluminum atom in an isotopic form with crystalline affinities.
And what all that means is that the tail will fall off the aeroplane?
Exactly, yeah. Oh, here's where I live. Oh, you wouldn't care to come in.
Thank you, I'd like to.
You would? Well, I'm afraid all I can offer you is some sherry.
Well, that'd be very nice.
It's probably not very good. I've had it quite a while.
Well, perhaps it's time to see if it's suffering from fatigue.
Oh, that couldn't happen to sherry. Oh, no, you see, sherry is that's strange. I'm sure this is the right key.
Where?
Oh, I'm so sorry.
This is the second time this week, Mr. Honey.
Yes, this row of houses, they all look alike.
Yes. Yes, they do, don't they?
Yes, it's the one next door. You know, it's very easy to make such an error, you know.
Especially if you've just moved into the neighborhood.
Oh, we've lived here 11 years. Oh, this is my house right here. I'm sure this is my...
Good evening, Father. I'm glad you're not late. I have everything planned for... Oh.
Hello.
Hello.
You don't recall where we put the sherry, do you, dear?
The top cupboard, behind the dishes. You said it would be out of Mrs. Higgins' way.
Oh, the top cupboard. Oh, yes, of course. Yeah, I remember perfectly. I have to put it up here behind the...
Yes, Father?
It appears to be empty. I guess Mrs. Higgins found it after all. Well, I'll get some more.
Please, I wish you wouldn't bother.
Oh, no, it's no trouble at all. The shop's just around the corner. Elspeth, will you entertain Mr... I don't believe you told me your name.
Scott.
Scott, this is my daughter. I'll be right back.
Well, Elspeth, now all these books are your father's, I suppose.
Oh, yes. They're all over the house. It's very difficult being a scientist. One has to think so much.
Oh, I know.
When my father's working, I keep very quiet.
And what about your mother? Does she help you keep quiet?
My mother's dead, Mr. Scott. An air raid during the war.
I'm very sorry, Elspeth. You must miss her very much.
Yes, I do. My father does more, I think.
And what do you do when your father's not busy?
Well, quite often we play games. He makes them up. For example, we play pyramidology.
Pyramidology?
It's based on the science of the Great Pyramid. And it's very scientific. The Great Pyramid is the only known architectural example of squaring the circle. That is, the area of the base is directly equal to that of a circle with the height of the structure.
And while you were gone, Mr. Honey, Elspeth was telling me about the games you two play. Very interesting.
Of course, I don't have much time to spend with Elspeth, but she's quite good at being by herself. Her mind is really developing quite remarkably.
Mr. Honey, I'd like to hear more about that tail falling off. When do you expect you'll know when the failure might occur?
Oh, well, I've known that for some time.
You know?
Oh, yes. The answer is 1,440 hours of flight.
But thousands of aircraft have flown millions of miles without the tail assemblies falling off any of them because of vibration.
Yes, that's quite true.
How long has your test been running, that tail assembly in the vibration shed?
832 hours, 14 minutes, and 7 seconds as of shutdown tonight. They don't allow me to run it more than 8 hours a day. The people in the neighborhood complain about the noise.
But didn't you give them your figure, 1,440 hours?
Oh, no. I never include detail in my preliminary report, Mr. Scott. Science is in no hurry. Whether I reach it a day or so later or earlier, it's of no importance.
It could be vitally important to the 50-odd people who take off in these reindeers every day.
No, now, Mr. Scott, you don't understand. I'm a scientist, and science is very exacting. It requires the utmost concentration. I can't be concerned with people. If a doctor is trying to find a cure for some disease, what would happen if he let himself be upset every time somebody got sick and died? He'd never get any work done at all. Now, people must be somebody else's concern, Mr. Scott. I can't let them be mine.
Yet these very people are the ones
No,
who...
No. I have nothing more to say at the present time. And now, if you'll excuse me, I think I'd better be getting home now. My hat. I thought I left my hat when
But,
I...
Mr. Honey, you live here.
I'm afraid I became upset, Mr. Scott. And when I'm upset, it's very easy to forget where I am. Goodbye, Mr. Scott.
Goodbye, Mr. Honey, and thank you for your time. And after I left Honey's home last night, Sir John, I came back here to the plant. I read the report on that reindeer that crashed in Labrador 2 months ago.
Oh, yes, pilot error, I believe. Went straight into a hill, didn't he?
I looked up how many hours of flight that particular reindeer had prior to the crash. The estimate given is 1,407.
You trying to prove Honey's theory for him?
No, not quite. We seem to have several photographs of the wreckage, but oddly enough, there's no photograph of the tail assembly.
They never found the tail assembly. Nothing unusual in that, I assure you.
I still think another inquiry should be made.
Very well, Mr. Scott. We'll take the taxpayers' money and send someone to Labrador to comb through that godforsaken country for a section of the tail spar. Is that what you want?
Yes, sir.
You don't know much about boffins, do you, Scott?
Boffins, sir?
Yes, scientists, researchers, the lab men. In the first place, sir, a boffin has to be a bit balmy to be a boffin.
Yes, sir.
Well, our Mr. Honey is typical. He tells us the reindeers will fall apart after 1,400 hours. If I made statements like that, they'd lock me up. Well, how long before that infernal vibration of his is due to prove something?
Well, it'll be weeks yet, sir.
And get it on a 24-hour basis today. And assign someone to handle the complaints when they start coming in.
Very good, sir.
How many hours have been flown by the other reindeers we've delivered?
Oh, I doubt if any of the others has done more than 500, sir.
Well, praise heaven for that. I shouldn't want the job of asking the airlines to ground their nice new ships with no more to go on than what Mr. Honey says.
About the man who will go to Labrador.
Mr. Honey, of course. He started all this. Maybe a stiff climb up a hill will do him good. Still, he knows best what to look for, I suppose.
Yes, sir.
That's all, Mr. Scott. Tell Mr. Honey he's flying to Labrador immediately.
Where'd you been losing that safety belt now, Mr. Honey. Here, let me help you.
Oh, thank you, stewardess.
We'll serve dinner in about half an hour, but if you'd care for coffee or a sandwich...
Well, I brought some sandwiches. My daughter made them. Her name's Elspeth.
Well, they're probably much better than ours. You're sure you didn't bring your own coffee?
No, just sandwiches. Miss, that woman over there, isn't that the film actress? Isn't that Monica Teasdale over there?
Why, yes, she's crossed with us often. Would you like me to take over your autograph book?
Oh, no. I don't even have one. No, I wouldn't want to trouble her.
I'll be back with your coffee in just a moment.
Very good, miss. Thank you.
I've just been talking with the pilot, Captain Samuelson. I want to apologize, Mr. Honey.
Apologize?
Well, I had no idea you were an expert on aviation, and here I've been talking to you as if you'd never flown before.
Well, I haven't. What I know about airplanes is more when they're in pieces.
Well, Captain Samuelson said he'd like to show you the plane. They don't do that for everyone. These new reindeers are beautifully equipped.
Reindeer? Is this a reindeer we're in?
That's right. A nice new shiny one.
Yes, I think I'd like to see it very much.
Well, now that you've met the crew, Mr. Honey, let me tell you about our engines.
Well, I don't suppose many things go wrong with them these days, do they, Captain?
Almost never. We don't even use reconditions anymore. We get brand new ones every 600 hours. These happen to be our third set. About the...
Did you say the third set of engines?
Yes, that's right, sir.
I thought the reindeers were new on this Canadian run.
Oh, they are, but this particular aircraft was one of the first off the line. We were loaned out for a while on the South American run.
Well, for how long?
Oh, Dobson, how many hours has this plane flown?
According to the logs, sir, 1,422 up to takeoff today.
1,422?
Yes,
sir. Captain, I must speak to you alone. Now, at once.
You seem
Captain,
disturbed, Mr.
I am disturbed considerably. Now, where can we go?
Well, there's the baggage locker off, but why can't we...
Captain, please. Please hurry.
I don't understand this at all, Mr. Honey. It's not that I doubt your calculations, but...
I tell you that if this airplane has flown more than 1,400 hours, the tail assembly may fail at any moment. That's the reason I was on my way to Labrador right now to investigate.
Investigate?
That crash 2 months ago. That reindeer crashed at 1,407 hours, within a few hours of my calculations. Less time than this plane has flown.
And you know for certain that the tail assembly failed?
The tail assembly wasn't found with the wreckage.
Oh, I see.
Every minute we spend talking about it...
The truth of the matter is that all of this is just your opinion. Well, if you have any suggestions,
Yes. You can cut the inboard engines to break up the vibration frequency and then turn back. Turn back... And if you don't turn back, this airplane's going to crash into the sea. And we're all going to be killed.
I see. Well, I'll radio a full report of all you've told me. If London tells me to turn back, I will. Meanwhile, I'll cut the inboard motors, as you suggest. It'll make us late at Gander, but I'll take that responsibility.
Gander, that's in Newfoundland.
Yes, sir, I'm quite aware of that.
But you told me you would radio London.
I will. But there won't be anyone at the airport at this time of night to make a decision like that. My instructions will be to maintain the course.
Very well, Captain. Let's wish ourselves luck. I didn't mean to disturb you, Miss Teasdale. My name's Honey, Theodore Honey, and I'd like to talk to you.
Of course. I'd be very pleased.
Mrs. Honey and I, I've always felt I owed you a great deal.
Oh?
Your pictures, they meant a lot to my wife, and that's why I want to talk to you.
You're very kind, Mr. Honey.
I'm afraid we're in very serious danger. The tail of this airplane may drop off at any moment.
Is that so?
Yes, now, I've been looking around the plane, and when it happens, go to the men's room and sit on the floor. The partition there is very rigid because the stove in the galley is bolted to the floor on the other side, you see?
Bolted to the floor? I see.
Yes. Now, if you survive the initial impact, try to get on a life raft, and they may pick you up when they search for us in the morning.
That's certainly very interesting. I'm to go to the men's room.
Yes, that's right.
And sit on the floor?
Yes.
And if I survive...
Excuse me, Mr. Honey.
Yes, yes?
I'm afraid Miss Teasdale's very tired. We really should let her rest, don't you think so?
No, but I
yes, just... I am rather tired, but thank you very much, Mr. Honey.
Oh, you rang for the stewardess, did you?
Well, yes, I did.
I'm very sorry. I was only trying to help.
I'm sure you were. Some other time, perhaps.
You shouldn't have done that, Mr. Honey.
Yes, it's quite sure. Clear I shouldn't have.
I'm sure you don't want to alarm people. You won't do it again, will you?
No, I won't do it again. You know about this, don't you?
Yes, Captain Samuelson just told me. Well, he'd rather that you didn't speak to any of the other passengers.
May I speak to you?
Of course.
I'd like to tell you what I was trying to tell Miss Teasdale.
Well, do it. It will make you feel any better.
Well, now, if it happens at this altitude, there'll be a little less than 3 minutes before we hit the water.
Yes.
Now, there's one place where a person could have a chance to survive the impact. It's in the men's room. Now, at the first sign of trouble, you go in there and sit on the floor with your back against the partition. Now, the partition's very rigid because the stove in the galley is bolted to the floor. Do you see?
You're very observant, Mr. Honey.
Yes, I am. Yes, I'm very observant. I tried to tell Miss Teasdale because I felt I owed her something, and now... I want you to know. And I won't talk to anyone else.
No one's worried about me like that for quite a while, Mr. Honey. But I think we're going to be all right.
Well, just be calm. And please remember what I told you.
Meanwhile, try to get some rest. Hmm? That's it, Mr. Honey. Here, now let me fix your pillow.
Before we return with Act Two of No Highway in the Sky, here's our Lux Hollywood reporter, Libby Collins.
Reporting on Metro-Goldwyn-Mayer's glorious new Technicolor production, Singin' in the Rain, starring Gene Kelly, Donald O'Connor, and Debbie Reynolds.
The dance numbers are superb, particularly the Singin' in the Rain number, where Gene Kelly dances and splashes his way along a rainy street.
Because he's fallen in love with adorable Debbie Reynolds. An irrepressible flapper who becomes one of the first talking picture stars.
As a rhythm team, Gene Kelly and Donald O'Connor are tremendous. They hoof through two comedy routines.
Mm-hmm. And in contrast, the ballet episode is a vision of loveliness.
Producer Arthur Freed has chosen 10 songs, including Broadway Melody, You Are My Lucky Star, and Would You. They're all in Singin' in the Rain.
John, didn't Debbie Reynolds look exquisite in her close-up?
Yes.
Her breathtaking complexion certainly shows the new beauty that results from Skin Tonic Action in Lux Soap Care.
Girls, Skin Tonic Action will work for you, too. You see, Skin Tonic Action means Lux Care actually stimulates vital moisture within your skin. Vital moisture that makes your complexion smoother, fresher, with a dewier look, a younger look.
Skin Tonic Action works real magic on dry skin.
Yes, dry, flaky skin especially needs moisture from within. And that's just what Skin Tonic Action of Lux Soap Care gives you. It works from within to make your complexion definitely smoother, definitely fresher.
That's not just a promise. It's a scientific fact.
Right, Libby. New tests prove dramatically that Skin Tonic Action gives softer, younger beauty to any normal skin. So be guided by scientific evidence. Be guided by the Lux Lovely complexions of glamorous screen stars. Try Lux Care now. Just one cake of Lux can make a thrilling improvement in your skin. Lux Toilet Soap and the beautifying benefits of Skin Tonic Action are guaranteed by Lever Brothers Company.